Well, now there's times when the Holy Spirit, how do I say this, where you have to just follow him through the service and you have no idea, really, you just follow. There's other times when he prepares you with a message that's really important. And he wants me to stay really close with my notes today because they're all important. But see, Jesus, he didn't just heal. It says he went about teaching, preaching, and healing. If you don't think he teaches, read the Sermon on the Mount. Red pages after red pages after red pages, you know. So there's times for teaching, and that's one of these, today is one of those days. So get your Bible out. Actually going to use our Bibles. Hallelujah. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's profitable for us. Hallelujah. So open up to John 16, verse 7. Now, Tim will bear witness of this for many years. The Lord, because I talk with Tim about it a lot. For years, I could hardly get out of John 14, 15, 16, and 17. For years and years. I just, probably those four chapters I've read more than any of the others. And, you know, okay, so that's enough on that. But it seems like only now he's really bringing all of the threads together to form a tapestry with an image that can be delivered in ways. And I'll tell you this, I'll just tell you this right now. It seems like the more I know, the less I know. I'm getting witnesses here. I'm becoming more like a little child. Even though I know more than I used to know, it's somehow equating to just total trust. And you can't put God in a box. Formulas. There are some things, you know. There's some things you have to learn one step at a time. But trust me, you're not going to keep God in a box. That's for sure. The devil thought he had God in a box. He found out that wasn't true. So, all right. John 16, we're going to start in verse 7. And this was let me read it. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Aren't you glad he does? I just think that's fun. Anyway, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now we know the Comforter, because we've read all four chapters, 14, 15, 16, 17, we know that he's talking about the Holy Spirit there. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all three God. Dave, when he would teach on that, he said if you could somehow see them, like facing each other, they would be like breastplate to breastplate, nose to nose, they're tri-equal. It's not like God the Father below him, God the Son below him, God the Holy Spirit, they're all God. Yet we know there's only one God. See, right there, you catch your brain. It's starting to leak at your left ear, you know. There's only one God. There really is. But somehow, the best way for him to represent himself to us is in three persons. Trust. Okay? Trust. I don't know that we'll ever really understand that on this side. But I remember when I first got serious about these chapters and I came to this verse. It's expedient. In plain English, it's better for you that I go away. And at the time, this was over 20 years ago, at the time I had an aunt who was dying of brain cancer. Her name was Betty. She was the most faithful, it's hard to say most, she was one of the most faithful Christians that I ever knew. She never missed church. She was the first one there, the last one to leave. She was the one that if you needed anything, she'd be the one showing up with, you know, she'd cook you a meal, wash your clothes. That was my Aunt Betty. Yet she's dying of brain cancer, and it's inoperable. There's nothing that the doctors can do. And I'll just tell you, it was a slow, painful, agonizing death. Just about as bad as you can get. That's going on. And I'm reading this verse. But he said, he told us, he's telling us the truth. But I'm going, Jesus, I just don't understand. How can you say it's better? I don't think my Aunt Betty thinks it's better. How can you say it's better for us that you left? Dave would talk about this too. He'd say, you know, if Jesus still had an office in Jerusalem, still was on earth doing the same ministry he did in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he says, you know, you might have to take a number. It might be a year, 2 years before you'd get in to see him. But one thing you'd know for sure, no matter how serious the case that you brought to him, one thing you'd know for sure. You know, I'm thinking about my Aunt Betty. If I could get her to Jesus, I know for sure I'm bringing her home healed. And it doesn't matter what it is. If I could get Victoria, let's take Victoria, our own Victoria, who was born with a partial brain. Would it matter at all to Jesus how serious that is? If I could get Victoria to Jesus, like if he was still had an office in Jerusalem, I know Victoria would receive a full brain. It's the same with anything. Tommy Perez, on and on. So in those days, how can you say it's better? I don't understand how you can say that. But see, it's amazing how you can read it and think you understand it and read it and pray and think you understand it and read it. And then 20 years later, you go, oh. And it shouldn't take 20 years. And it's not going to take the next generation 20 years. And it's not going to take the next generation 20 years. So let's continue here. I'm going to read it again, then we're going to go on a little ways. See, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Well, I do believe it's the truth, even though I didn't understand it. It is expedient. It's better for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, first off, Jesus would always say, it is the Father in him that was doing the works. Just so you can see that, back up to John 14, verse 10. He says, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. Now here it is. But the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. And that's pretty plain. Now, Jesus knew that God the Father, remember, there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, correct? Jesus knows that God the Father is in heaven, because when he taught us to pray, how does it start off? Our Father, which art in heaven. He knows that. Yet right here, he says, it is the Father in me. He doeth the works. Now, let me just ask you. Jesus, did he ever do any miracles before he was baptized in the Holy Ghost the day he was baptized by John? The answer, correct answer, is no, he did not. You can know that because after he's baptized in the Holy Ghost, he says this is the beginning of miracles when he turned the water into wine at Cana. That's the beginning. One of the reasons the Apocrypha is not in our Bible is that it says things like when Jesus was a little boy, he found a dead bird, prayed over it, and it flew off. And that's just not true. It's just not true. The Father, Jesus was always the Son, born of the Father on planet Earth. But Jesus was not empowered. Boy, religion's going to get mad right there. Jesus did not do any miracles. He was not empowered to do any miracles until he was baptized in the Holy Ghost. There's a lot to teach right there that you already had the foundation. You know why. The day he was baptized by John, when he was laid down in the water, that's a type of the grave. He didn't die as Jesus. He died as Adam. He didn't have any sin. He died in the place of Adam. As far as God was concerned, the whole human race died right there. Well, if the first Adam is dead, isn't God free now to appoint the last Adam, another Adam? When he's raised up out of the water, that's Jesus' faith. You will not leave my soul in hell, neither will my flesh see corruption. He was trusting the Father to raise him from the dead. And when God looked on his heart, he considered it a done deal that day, even though Jesus wouldn't physically die for another 3 years or so. From that day forward, as far as God's concerned, a gavel came down in heaven. The first Adam is dead. Long live the last Adam. That's pretty good. That's quick, right? Took a lot of, anyway. Should have took up an offering right there before I get out there. Yeah. Teasing. Well, that's why he's empowered now with the Holy Ghost. That's why the Holy Ghost came on him right there. He is operating from that moment forward as the King of the kingdom. That's why he says in Luke 16:16, he says, the law and the prophets were until John, but since that, he means the day he was baptized by John, since that time, the kingdom of God is preached. Why? There's a new king who's the King of the kingdom. And he is that king. And he's been empowered by the Holy Ghost to have dominion on planet Earth. See, I'm trying not to preach, but I'm excited. Okay. All right, back to this. John 14:10. I got to stay with this now. There's a whole thought he wants you to have today before we leave, and you too. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father. Now notice how he words this. The Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. But the Father, the one we think of when we think of the Father, is in heaven. What does he mean, the Father in me? Well, it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in one place is called the Spirit of your Father. It is God, the Holy Spirit is God no less than the Father, no less than the Son. And the Father is in Jesus by the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of the Father that dwells, lives, abides in him all the time. Got that? Say dwells. Dwells means lives. All the time. Okay. So I'm going to stay with my notes. Jesus knew that God the Father is in heaven. He starts out the Lord's Prayer with our Father, which art in heaven. So when he refers to the Father dwelling in him, Jesus is referring to the Spirit of the Father. Remember he said God is a Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And this is the same comforter now that Jesus is referring to that we read first up there in John 16:7. Now he says, if I go not away, the comforter will not come unto you. Now, understand who he's talking to here. He's talking to at least the 12, and more likely the 12 plus the 70, and more likely the 12 plus the 70 plus others. Well, all the 12 and the 70 are used to working with the Holy Ghost. He sent them out to heal the sick, cast out devils, and raise the dead, and they did that. And he tells them in John 14, he says, the Holy Spirit is with you, but he shall be in you. I knew I was in the right church. He shall be in you. This is exactly what he's talking about. So let's meditate all this from the perspective of the man, Jesus of Nazareth. I'll be turning to Philippians chapter 2. I better do that too because I've only got it in the Amplified. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 6 and 7. Dun, 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 dun. I still like my paper Bible. I like all of them, really. So let's meditate this from the perspective of the man, Jesus of Nazareth. Now I'm going to read it out of the Amplified, out of the King James, but then out of the Amplified because it gives you a better understanding what the Greek words actually delivered the knowledge, okay? So verses 6 and 7. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Now that's King James-y. It doesn't really tell us what the Greek language was conveying. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Now let me read that to you out of the Amplified. Who, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God, God, did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained. Here it is. But stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity so as to assume the guise, the form of a servant, a slave, in that he became like men and was born a human being. Now that's just really good. Now I don't know how he does that. See, there's another mystery I may never understand, maybe not even in eternity. I don't see how God cannot be God, but somehow God became a man. And I think he probably still was God. My brain. But one thing's for sure, that what the point that this is making, he didn't do anything as God. That's the point. He stripped himself of that. Jesus of Nazareth. See, and I'm hearing the verse right now. You know, at Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. It's worded that way on purpose. Not the Son of God, not the God man. How God anointed a man, Jesus of Nazareth, a man with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Boy, you got that right. Well, God was with the 70. God was with the 12. The Holy Spirit went with them to do the work in the name of Jesus. They're accustomed to God, to working with God, the Holy Ghost. They've had that experience. They were surprised too. They come back. It's almost like, the wording is almost like, Jesus, did you know? Even the devils are subject to us in your name. And I think he's like, I don't know if Jesus ever did an eye roll, but yeah, I know. Okay. Yeah, okay. That's great, but mainly rejoice that your names are written in heaven, you know. Okay, that's not today's lesson. But the point I'm trying to make here, let's meditate this from the point of Jesus of Nazareth, the man who has, I know he's God-man, okay, don't write me no letters, but let's, Jesus of Nazareth, who has stripped himself of every privilege of deity. He is a man. That's why he is our pattern in Romans 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You want to see how we're supposed to function? We look at Jesus. Okay. So I wrote here, he was functioning as a man born of God's Spirit. Now he's the only one at that time on planet Earth born of God's Spirit. He's the only one with the light of life on the inside of him. But after he was baptized by John, he became literally on earth the temple of the Holy Spirit. Are we okay with that? He is the tabernacle. He is the mobile temple of God. I like to say he's the temple of God with legs. Where he goes, the Holy Spirit dwells in him. The way he worded it here, the Father dwells in him. Boy, we could teach on the Ark of the Covenant right there. You could teach on everything right there. Anyway, so the day that Jesus was baptized by John, God the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Spirit of the Father, came to dwell in him. Not just work with him, came to dwell in him. I'm taking you back up to John 14:10. The Father that, it doesn't say the Father that works with me. It says the Father that dwells in me. He doeth the works. Back up to our starting verse. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. He'd already come unto them in the sense of working with them. That's not what Jesus is talking about. I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay. Now, since the Holy Spirit is God, let's just say for now that Jesus, the man from Nazareth, his body has become the temple of God on earth. Are we okay with that? Because he said, the Father dwells in me. So, okay. So Jesus would say, it is not me. The man, Jesus, would say, the man Jesus of Nazareth would say, and did say, it's not me. It's the Father in me. He doeth the works. What if we said it this way? It is the Comforter in me. He doeth the works. What if we said it this way? It is the Holy Spirit in me. He doeth the works. Because Jesus plainly says, our Father which art in heaven. It says when he blessed the bread, he looked to heaven. He knows the Father's in heaven. Okay. So when he says it is expedient, we're back to our starting verse now. John 16:7. When he says it is expedient, better for us that he goes away, he tells us why. He wanted it, he wanted to make it possible for the same God that was living in him to be living in us. Oh, wait. You mean I don't have to take a number, fly to Jerusalem and bring my Aunt Betty? Wait a minute. You mean the same, that if I did that, what would happen is I would present her to you, and the God that lives in you would heal her. But the reason you're saying it's better, you're going to make a way for the God that lives in you to live in me. But then that same God can heal Betty here. That would be better. Instead of having just one human vessel with God living on the inside, what if there were millions of human vessels with God living on the inside? Now, this is the purpose of the gospel. He plainly tells us, because I go to, well, I haven't got to that verse yet. Let's get to it. He plainly tells us this is because he's going to the Father. Now, without us having this same God within us, that is within him, we cannot do the same works. It's just real simple. If you don't have that God in you, that God can't do the works. Well, he could do it with you. See, that's how he did the Old Testament. That's really how he did the Old Testament saints. When you see the prophets and the things that they did, that's the Holy Spirit working with them. Okay. Anyway, that's not today's lesson. John 14:12. Here it is. Verily, verily, I say unto you. It's so important. He that believeth on me. Now, that'll mean more to you in a minute. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Well, how would that be possible? If it's the Father in him doing the works, if we're going to do the same works, doesn't that mean that same Father would have to live in us? That's exactly why he has to go. And he tells us that. I'm going to read the whole verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. Now notice, because I go unto my Father. It is not God's plan for the ministry of Jesus, the supernatural ministry of Jesus, to end when he died. It's the plan of God that the supernatural ministry of Jesus be multiplied. When he died, he is the seed that fell into the ground and died so that a great harvest of many seeds could come forward. Hello, seeds. Hello, seeds. Hello. Hello, seeds. Now we've got to believe this, see. He that believeth on me. This only works if we believe it. I got one right. Here's your second chance. This only works if we believe it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now see, that phrase, because I go unto my Father, is saying the same thing as John 16:7. If Jesus does not go to the Father, if he doesn't go to the cross, suffer, be quickened and raised, glorified, if he does not go through that process, then it will continue to be only one human vessel on planet Earth through whom the Father can work, and that would be him. We can do the works because we have the same God in us that Jesus of Nazareth has in him. But now you have to notice how Jesus worded this. It's so important. Are you still in John 14? So I'm going to read verse 12, and then I'm going to continue with verses 13 and 14. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name. Now notice how he words this. That will I do. Stop. Wait. Time out. I thought you just told me it's the Father doing the works. But then in the next sentence he says, how did Dave say that, poor Jesus? You know, couldn't carry a thought for more than a verse or two, you know. No, he knows exactly what he's saying. Now watch this. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. Now notice, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. See, in his high priestly prayer in John 17, he says, Father, I have glorified thee on the earth. What does that mean? He manifested the Father. The Father got to do the work. Now, he's saying here, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And he repeats it. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, it almost seems like doublespeak at first. It's the Father in me, he's doing the works. It's not me, it's the Father in me. You're going to do the same works. Whatever you ask in your name, in my name. See, you would think, whatever you ask in my name, he will do it. But that's not how he words it. And he knows what he's doing. I'm going to read 13 and 14 again. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And I wrote here, I is the most personal of pronouns. I will do it is very personal. I means me, personally, not somebody else. Isn't that what I means? If I tell you I'm going to do it, that doesn't mean Fred's going to do it. Isn't that right? That's what, he knows what he's doing. So the question, I'm going, so is it Christ in us doing the works? Or is the Father in us doing the works? And the answer is yes. The answer is yes. It absolutely is. Now, to understand that, you got to go to John 17. Remember, John 14, 15, 16, 17. This is all really one thing. John 17, let's pick it up in verse 21. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, here we go, this is our subject, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And boy, the world doesn't believe it much right now. They're going to. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. In a nutshell, that's the glory of sonship. Dave broke that down for us. I don't have time to teach that today, but that glory is sonship. He made it possible for his Father to become your Father. He's prepared a room for you in the house. Why? Because you're a son. Okay. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Now here it is, verse 23. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved them as thou hast loved me. Now notice this. I in them, and thou in me. In this same four chapters, John 14, 15, 16, and 17, Jesus describes himself as being the vine. He is the connector between the realm of the Spirit and planet Earth. He is the connector between heaven, if you'll allow me, and Earth. Gary, what is heaven? I used to think heaven was a planet, and there's some justification for that because it talks about the north and things we're not going to get into today. I don't really think it's a planet anymore. I think it's a dimension, but that's not really relevant. You don't have to believe that, not believe that. I will say this, it is an unseen realm. Can we all agree on that? See, that's perfect to describe the vine. I'm going back to my grandfather's vineyard. My mother's daddy had an old gnarly grapevine that thing, because I'm thinking with a 5 or 6 year old mind, my memory is from that age. To me, that thing looked ancient, the vine that came up out of the ground. It's one vine, but it went on for half a football field. I mean, it just went on forever, this thing. It looked ancient where it came out of the ground, but you can't see where it's from. I can't see below the ground. It's at the source. I can't see. It's below the ground. But boy, there's life coming through that thing. Because that's the vine. And off of each, every now and then, here's a branch. Well, that's us. I'm going to read it here in a minute, but I want you to have the image of this grapevine. And that thing is long. I mean, it was really long. And I used to wonder, I guess I always had an engineering mind. I remember wondering one time, I wonder if the grapes at the end are as good as the grapes at the beginning. See, here you go. It's already working at me. I had to do an experiment. That's what the engineers do. I went clear. I ate one close to where it come out of the ground. Ooh, now my granddaddy, he didn't grow these little grapes that you get in the store now. You hardly find these anymore. They're Concord grapes, black, big as your thumb, kind of a purpley black, you know. Sweet, oh my Lord. You don't need to add any sugar to that, man. It's so good. I took one of those at the beginning and ate it. It was delicious. Went clear to the end, and the grape wasn't any smaller, just as big at the end as it was at the beginning. And I took one of those and ate it, said, my goodness, it's just as good at the end as it is at the beginning, see. Boy, we could preach right there. The promises unto you and unto your children and to all that are afar off. Hello. They're just as sweet, just as good. Okay. So let's read John 15 now with that image in mind of the vine. John 15, starting in verse 1. I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean, and that's the same word, purged. It's the same word. You are purged clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now here it is. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. I in them and thou in me. Jesus is the vine. His spirit, that born again spirit, his spirit in you is the very vine through which the power of the Father flows. This is why the Holy Spirit doesn't move through Muhammad. It doesn't move through Buddha. It doesn't move. No man comes to the Father but by me. The Spirit of Christ is the connector between the unseen realm. He is like that gnarly, I shouldn't use that with Jesus, but he's like that ancient vine coming up out of the ground. He's coming from, I can't see below the ground. I don't know what the source looks like. All I know is the life is coming from an unseen realm up through this vine, but the grapes don't grow on the vine. You'll never see a grape growing on that vine. There has to be a branch. And the fruit is on the branch. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm about to have a running fit. You are the branch. He is the vine and the Father is the source. But now the Father is not, see, the connecting between that unseen realm and this realm is the vine. You've got to, without me, without Christ, you can do nothing. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Just calm down, Gary. See, now we know that right now, the glorified Christ, Jesus, the glorified man, the God-man, man-God now, he's not the same, he's not just Jesus of Nazareth anymore. The glorified Christ is seated right now, today, at the right hand of the Father in heaven. We know that, right? Yet the Bible says that we are seated in him. Now, just so you see it, look at Ephesians 2:6. I told you this is Bible day. But I think this is going to be foundational for us flowing more in the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 2:6. The whole passage is great, but I got too much. We got too much to do today. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places. What if I said it this way? Made us sit together in the unseen realm. Now notice it does not say with Christ Jesus. It says in Christ Jesus. Yet he just got through saying, he's in us. I don't know if you've noticed, we're not in heaven. But see, what he's trying to show is the vine. He is the connector. Because we are in him, legally, we are connected in heaven. This imagery is a little tough, but it's the unseen realm. But it plainly, look in your Bible. He hath raised us up together, made us sit together in the unseen realm in Christ Jesus. I have to believe it. Here comes trust like a little child. I have to believe it. But he is the connector. Because he is there, I am there in him. But because I am here on earth, he is here in me. He's the vine. He's the connecting between heaven and earth, the unseen realm and this realm. That's why it's got to be Jesus. Without me, without him, you cannot do anything. It won't work for Buddha. I'm sorry, it won't work for Muhammad. Won't work for the Muslim. Won't work for the agnostic. Now, he can work with anybody. We're not talking about that. We're talking about God in you doing the works. Okay. Now, John 17:24. See, that verse where it says that we are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Did you know that's an answer to Jesus' prayer? Let me show it to you. John 17:24. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. Where am he? Where am he? He's in heaven. But he wants us to be there with him. But right, he just said earlier, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be in you and the Father in me. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to keep saying it. I keep seeing this vine. I see my Father's vine, that old ancient vine coming up out of the ground. He's coming. It's the life is coming from a source I can't see. I cannot see under the ground. Yet that vine brings that life into this realm where I can see. But the fruit doesn't really grow on the vine. I never saw a grape on the vine. There has to be a branch. And then the fruit appears on the branch. I am the vine. You are the branches. The same Father that, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And he means in you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, we are hallelujah, I got a glory, hallelujah. We are physically on the earth. Yet the Bible says Christ is in us here. Isn't that the mystery that Paul said he was commissioned to preach? Christ in us, our hope of glory. But he's in us and the Father's in him. Glory to God. Christ himself is in heaven. The glorified Christ is in heaven. Yet we are where he is. He plainly says we're seated there in him. Now here it is. Because of this, because Jesus departed, because he left to be with the Father, because he went through this process, listen to this. Heaven and earth are now connected. The unseen realm and the seen realm has a conduit that flows between the two. That conduit is Christ. It is the Spirit of Christ. It's your new nature. It's what you got born again with. And that is the vine. Christ in you is the vine that connects the two realms. the realm of the Spirit and this natural world. Then I wrote, the Spirit of Christ is the connection. He is the vine. Christ in us is the vine through which the Father extends His hand from heaven to earth. Oh, are you hearing this? This is going to take believing. Remember when he walked through the wall, as far as I'm concerned, right between those speakers, walked right over here, put his finger right on the Bible and says, I want to be believed. Remember how this started off? And he that believeth on me, where is it? John 14:12, and I say unto you, he that believeth on me. We've got to believe this. We've got to believe this. He that believeth on me. What does that mean? I want to be believed. Read it. Eat it. Digest it. Speak it. Pray in tongues over it. Then read it and eat it and digest it and pray in tongues over it. Fast over it if you have to. Whatever it takes, we've got to become a people that believes this, because the word is not going to change and the work has already been done. There's not another gospel coming. This is the gospel. It's up to us to believe it. That's what, he that believeth on me. So, well, I believe on Jesus. I'm going to heaven. We're not talking about that. Do you believe he's in you? Well, do you believe the Father's in him? Well, it says he is. That's not the same. That's not the same. See why I had to stay with the notes today. Okay. Could preach 1,000 lessons out of this. I got to read that again. This last paragraph. The Spirit of Christ is the connection between the unseen realm and the seen realm. He is the vine. That life, when you got born again, that now he can work with anybody. I'm telling you again, all the gifts of the Spirit you can find in the Old Testament where nobody was born again. All of them except tongues and interpretation of tongues. You can find all the rest of them. He works with them in the Old Testament. That's not how Jesus functioned. Jesus functioned by the Holy Spirit being in him. And he says, I'm leaving so the Holy Spirit can be in you. But it's the same God in us. We need to start thinking like this. I am the temple of God. God lives in me. Christ lives in me. And the Father in him. And the works that Christ did, I do also. Because I believe on him. I believe what he said. It's absolutely the truth. Hallelujah. See? We got to do it till we walk it in it. Previews. See, I understand so much better now why Jesus said, I don't do anything of myself. What I hear, that's what I say. What I see, that's what I do. Now, meditating that from this perspective again of Jesus of Nazareth, the man. I'm not saying he wasn't God, I'm just saying he laid down all of his privileges. So he's functioning as a man born of God, baptized in the Holy Ghost. How did he know what to do? He said, well, I don't do anything except I see my Father do it. I always thought till recently, somehow he was seeing the Father in heaven doing that. Or somehow, I don't know what I thought. But now I understand what he's saying. He made himself, as a man, totally reliant on the Holy Ghost. And that is the Father. But it's the Father in him. I don't go anywhere. I don't do anything, but I see my Father do it. What's he talking about? Remember when they were really surprised that he didn't go to heal Lazarus. Remember, they sent people and said, you know, Lazarus is sick unto death. You know, I mean, he's really sick. But we know if he'll come, he'll be okay. And Jesus wasn't close by, but he could have gotten there pretty quick. But actually, he stayed where he was until Lazarus died. And they didn't understand that at all. Now, again, that's a whole teaching. Dave broke it for us. It was really a trap by the enemy trying to draw Jesus back, because the Jews were lying in wait there to kill him. They knew Lazarus was sick. They knew Lazarus was a close friend. They figured Jesus would come and they were going to arrest him and kill him when he did. But how many knows the Holy Ghost is smarter than the devil? And the Holy Ghost has all power. And when I say Holy Ghost, I might as well say the Father, okay? But he's, now they're separate, don't get me wrong. It's God the Father, God the, again, my brain, okay. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, but all one God. He told him, he said, listen, I'm not walking in the dark. I'm not guessing at what I'm doing. He said, like, he gave him an analogy. Like, isn't there 12 hours in a day? You walk by the light so you don't stumble over the rock. You know, there's a rock in the path where you're walking in the light. You see the rock, you don't step over the rock. He says, I'm not guessing at this. I have a light that I'm walking by. There's a rock. It's a trap. He said, I'm not guessing. I have a light that I'm walking by. He's talking about the light of the Holy Spirit. And he knew when Lazarus died. How did he know that? Holy Spirit told him. And they're going, now the way Jesus worded it, he says, Lazarus sleepeth. And they're going, well, if he's asleep, he'll get better. We don't have to go. But they went. See, God is never late. Nothing is too hard for God. Well, if I don't hurry, he'll die. God who quickens the dead. He came up to the graveyard. I love it now because I understand it better. Why he said, Lazarus, come forth. Because if he'd have stood on the edge of that graveyard and just said, come forth, all of them would have been coming. I love that. Lazarus, come forth. Did you know later on the Pharisees tried to kill Lazarus again? Some people just don't learn. I don't know what it is. They just don't learn. All right, I want to start heading towards some conclusions on this lesson. Now listen, there's a real reason why Jesus said, he that believeth on me. Because this truth has been in the Bible all of this time. There's been precious few believe it. I absolutely believe that God assigned Kenneth E. Hagin on the assignment to reestablish foundations of faith back in the earth. Now a lot of abuse happened from a lot of people that took it and twisted it and can't really help that, but it doesn't take away from the fact I absolutely believe Kenneth Hagin was sent to reestablish the foundations of faith. I believe Pastor Dave Roberson, I could use another title, but I believe Dave Roberson was absolutely sent, his mission on earth, and still is his mission, to establish the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit that comes through other tongues. And all of the other things that Pastor Dave taught us, but that primarily to reestablish why there are tongues and why we should make advantage of it, because we are edifying ourselves by learning the mysteries. That's what the Holy Spirit for. He, in that same 14, 15, 16, and 17 in John, when the Spirit of truth comes, he, personal pronoun, he will guide you into all truth. And I believe the Holy Spirit has been doing exactly that as we yield ourselves to those hours that just seem agonizingly slow, and whether your own brain and the devil keeps telling you nothing is happening, nothing is going on, you might as well have stayed home. Yet he is still communicating those mysteries and explaining to them to us. And we are going to be the people that believes on him. Amen. I'm telling you absolutely we're the people that's going to... By just exactly everything Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also. Now, just a few conclusions. Now that I see this so much, to me it's so much clearer, to me it's more clear than I'm even able to deliver yet, okay? But to me, now that I see why he left, absolutely it is his intention that every Christian on planet earth be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm not saying you're not saved if you're not baptized. I believe the whole thing about Philip going to Samaria and getting them baptized says they saw that. Now, Philip operated in signs and wonders. He operated in signs and wonders. That's what draws the crowd. And they believed his gospel when he preached. And it says they got baptized in the name of Jesus. Now, if that's not saved, I don't know what saved is. You hear the gospel. You believe the gospel. You get baptized in the name of Jesus. They're saved. But see, that's not good enough. The apostles came down and laid hands on them so they could be filled with the Holy Ghost, because Jesus said, this is why I'm leaving. I want the same God that lives in me to live in you. Amen. And he meant all of us too. Back in John 17, he says, not only am I just talking about these, but all that shall believe based on their word. Well, boy, that's us. And that's what Peter said in the book of Acts. The promise. What promise? What had just happened? They just got filled with the Holy Ghost. There's 120 people staggering around like drunk people. And he said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And in his message, he said, the promise is to you, to your children, and to all that are afar off. That's us. God in my belly. That'd be a good title, wouldn't it? God in my spirit, God on the inside of me, God in Christ who is in me, Christ in you, that is the hope of glory. Glory to God. I know now. Now you can be saved. I think if all those the Samaritans, had one of them died in between the time that they got baptized in the name of Jesus, before the apostles came and laid hands on them to get filled with the Holy Ghost, if one of them would have died in there, I think they'd have gone straight to heaven. But that is not. And I think that's where most of the church is and has been for a long time. But that's not why Jesus left. He plainly tells us why he left. He plainly told us why it's better for you that I go to the Father. If I don't go, that Holy Spirit is not going to come to live in you the same way he lives in me. So when we get saved, we get Christ in us. Without him, we can do nothing. It has to be the Spirit of Christ. His Spirit, he that's joined to the Lord is one Spirit. He is the connector. He is the vine between heaven and earth, between the unseen realm and the seen realm. And it's through him that the Holy Spirit flows. I could say the hand of the Father reaches from the unseen realm into this realm, comes up from out of the ground like my grandfather's vine to produce the healing on the branch, and you're the branch. Amen. Glory to God. And he said the same works and even more. Peter did a more work. What? Peter, who denied the Lord 3 times? What do you mean? I don't remember Jesus walking down the street in his shadow. I don't remember that. Do you remember Jesus walking down? And now they touched the hem of his garment. But I don't remember Jesus walking down through the street, and if they got sick people within shadow length, they got healed. Do you remember that? I don't remember that. In a way, Peter did a greater work. It's different, something I never saw. Who knows what we're going to see? Can't put God in a box. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, I noticed, this goes on for several more pages, but we're coming to the end of today. Previews. Now listen, when the apostles, you read through the book of Acts, whenever works would happen, They never said it's the Father in me. Did they? They would say things like Jesus has made you whole, or it's his name through faith in his name. It always went, the credit always goes to Jesus because he is the King of the kingdom. Now it actually says when this is all wrapped up, we come to the very end of time, Jesus is going to hand the kingdom back to the Father. But for now, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord over Tulsa. And Tulsa is in revival. And right now, he is the King of the kingdom. So when you lay hands on them and they get healed, they go, what was that? That was Jesus. That was Jesus. Give credit there, because that's the way they did it. I got pages of it going through just making sure. But over and over again. Just one. It is of extreme importance why Jesus said we would receive power. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Why? Because you're going to be witnesses. You're going to be witnesses unto me. So I wrote here, it's of extreme importance that we remember that Jesus said we were to be his witnesses. What do you mean witness? He's alive. He's alive in me. So Acts 4:33, just for example, you don't have to turn there. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And great grace was upon them all. Over in Acts 5, verses 12 through 16. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets, laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits. And they were healed, every one. Say with me, first time. Every time. No exceptions. If you want some practice on that, we do that every week at Calling in the Lost. We're starting in tonight at 7 o'clock. And we are going to have everything that we have said. We're going to see it. And I mean quicker than later. I could go on and on. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. I did my best to deliver what you put on the inside of me. Father, I pray it gets on the inside of everybody that hears this. Father, we have to believe this. This is the word. This is what you said. You said you told us the truth. Will we believe it, Lord? We are that people that believes on you. We are the branch connected to you, Lord, the vine. Father, you're the life. You're the one that flows through. You're the power that flows through that vine to manifest the fruit on the branches, and we are the branches. Father, we give you praise for all of this. What a wonderful gospel. What a wonderful truth. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.